Please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24 and verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And that is our subject this morning, simply those words, Peace be unto you. Now on this Easter Sunday, we consider, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ as our risen Saviour, the resurrected Lord, resurrected from the dead, of course, Christ, as we always affirm, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, equal with the Father, came from heaven to earth and took upon himself a body, conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Ghost and born into this world, yes, fully human, fully man, but fully God, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he lived on this earth 33 years. This, of course, over 2,000 years ago in Judea, a small corner of the Roman Empire, what we now know as the Middle East, as Palestine. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ lived. And, he lived for 33 years. And for the last 3 years of his ministry, he preached concerning the kingdom of God. He called men and women to repentance. Of course, he worked great miracles as well, and we considered not so long ago that miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 men at least were fed, remember, by 5 loaves and 2 fishes, a tremendous miracle. They were filled by all that the Lord had done. Tremendous miracles he worked, and healing miracles, of course. The blind had their sight restored, the lame were able to walk, the deaf could hear once again, and all these things authenticated the Lord Jesus Christ to show that he really was God, to show that he was fully God, fully man, God with us, the one prophesied in the Old Testament. Those miracles showed that without any doubt, and the people rejoiced. The people who saw him, they rejoiced. The Israelites, well, a great number of them believed that he would be a great king of Israel, a great earthly king, that he would lead his people out from the oppression of the Romans, out of Roman bondage, lead them to freedom, that they would be a great nation, that perhaps the Lord Jesus Christ would rule forever. They believed that. And they thought that that would happen, but of course it wasn't to be. As we considered on Friday, the Lord had many enemies, and he was betrayed into the hands of those enemies by his own disciple, Judas Iscariot. He was arrested, he was tried in a sham trial, he was sentenced to death, death by crucifixion, the vilest form of death that was conceived of in those times. Crucifixion was a terrible way to die, a death reserved for the vilest criminals, and yet that was the death that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. He who knew no sin, he went to the cross for us. He went to take the punishment for the sins of his people, and we spoke about this at length on Friday. But today we remember his resurrection. He was resurrected from the grave. The tomb in which he was laid could not hold him. And that tomb, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, the tomb, well, it had a huge stone rolled over it. It was sealed up. There was a Roman guard in front of it. And yet, what do we read in the scriptures? The tomb could not hold him. This is the risen Son of God. He rose again from the grave. And he appeared on numerous occasions to numerous people. Now, by the time we get to this verse that we'll consider, The Lord Jesus has appeared to certain individuals, including two of his followers on the road to Emmaus. But here in verse 36, he appears before his disciples. As they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. The disciples, there were only 11 at this stage. Remember, Judas had betrayed the Lord Jesus. He had gone. So there are 11 disciples gathered together. They've shut the doors, we read in the Gospel of John. They were fearful. They thought that those who had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ would come after them. So they were barricaded up, as it were. But out of nowhere, all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, appears before them. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." Peace be unto you. What tremendous words for us to consider this day. Now, peace be unto you. Of course, this was a common form of salutation, of greeting amongst the Hebrews. In the Hebrew language, well, when people greeted one another, they would often say peace or shalom. So it wasn't unusual in that sense. But in this context, well, this context is very unusual. Christ has risen from the grave, so we can apply some deeper meanings to these words, peace be unto you, particularly in this context, and we can apply them to Christ's death and resurrection. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks of peace. Now, he had spoken of peace while he was alive, as it were, before his death on the cross. He had spoken many times of peace. We know very famous words of the peace of God. One of the Beatitudes that begin the Sermon on the Mount. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Those who are of God will seek after peace. The Lord spoke much about peace. On the eve of his crucifixion, the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." That was his parting words to the disciples. "Peace I leave with you." The Lord Jesus Christ spoke so wonderfully of peace. And the Lord made very clear, particularly in that last verse that we read from the Gospel of John, that he is the only source of peace. He gives a peace that this world cannot give. That's what he teaches. This world, the world without God, a life without God, you can never have peace in that life. But if you come to Christ, then you will know what true peace is. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches. And that is what we affirm even as we preach and teach Christ ourselves. This world does not give peace. How does this world define peace? How does it even define peace? Some people will say, well, peace is if you don't have war. If you live in a time when there's no war, well, then that's peace. It's as simple as that. And many people consider this society to be a peaceful society because we haven't had a major war. The last major war, the Second World War, well, it's almost 75 years ago. We're at a safe distance now. And many people say, well, this is a peaceful generation. We've had peace ever since then. But is that true peace? Is that true peace? Yes, we haven't had a great war. But is everybody really at peace with one another in this society? You can work it out for yourself. When you read the newspapers, when you watch the news, do we see a peaceful society? Oh, everyone's at peace with one another. Is that what we really see? Or do we read about violence and crime and protests, particularly at this time, and terrible things happening? Are we really at peace one with another, even in our daily lives? When you go out into the society, do you see people at peace one with another? I went the other day to the library, a place where, by the way, you'd expect to find some peace. Went to the library thinking I could do some work there, and it wasn't long before two men started shouting at each other and threatening to beat each other up. There wasn't any peace there. In a place where you'd think there'd be peace, there wasn't any peace. And this is very often the way in this society. People speak so much about peace and love nowadays, but where is it? Where actually is the peace that people speak so much about? Some people say, well, if I want peace, I just, maybe they go on holiday. If I want a peaceful time, I go on holiday, I find a secluded beach somewhere, and then I can find some peace. Well, yes, okay, perhaps you can get some peace there. But the peace of this world, it's always temporary. It's a temporary peace. Yes, you can go on holiday and have a peaceful time, but you know that one day you have to come back. You have to come back to your work, to the usual stress, to the grind, to all the worry. It's a temporary peace. It's not true peace. True peace is everlasting peace. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ gives us. It's not temporary. In this world, you can have temporary peace, yes, but true peace is everlasting. Temporary peace is not true peace. True peace is everlasting, and that's what the Lord Jesus Christ gives us. And by the way, the peace that Christians have, that's within us. The peace that a Christian has is within us. We don't need to go anywhere. We don't need to go to a secluded beach to find peace. Peace is within us. Christ has given us this peace. So nobody can take it from us. Wherever we are, whatever situation we are in, we have peace. We don't need to find a beach or somewhere quiet. Our peace is within us. This is the peace that Christ is speaking about. Not as the world giveth, the peace of Christ. And these are wonderful things and worthy of our attention even this morning. But why is there no peace? What is the reason why there is so little peace in the world today? Well, let me put it bluntly. The reason, well, it's us. The reason there is no peace in this world is because of us. It's because of the human race. It's because of human beings. Imagine this planet without any human beings on it at all, if you can imagine that. Imagine this world without any human beings, how much more peaceful it would be. How much more peaceful? There'd be no wars. There'd be no bombs. There'd be no weapons. Nothing like that at all. A world without human beings, it'd be so much more peaceful. The reason why there's so little peace is because of us, the fallen human race. It's because of our sin. That's what the Bible says. We are sinners. And that is why we cannot find any peace. We are sinners by nature. And let me put it to you in this way, developing this idea. It's perhaps true to say that our sinful nature as human beings, we resist peace. We don't actually really want peace at all. There is something in our nature, and this is a great tragedy, a very great tragedy. We don't really want peace. We see peace as something that's unappealing, as something that's actually quite boring. Peace? Oh no, we don't want peace. We want to go out and do wild things. We want to enjoy our life. We don't want peace. There's something in us that resists peace, even from a young age. You look at young children. Generally speaking, they don't seek after peace. They misbehave. They run about. They make as much noise as possible. They don't want peace. To be at peace, to sit quietly, that's boring. We don't want to do that. If they see a child who's sitting at peace, they normally go and wind him up. They don't like him being at peace. And even adults do this sometimes. But it's in our nature. We resist peace. That's why people don't like the Christian faith. They look at Christian people. They see that we are peaceful people. We're quiet. We have quiet, peaceful lives. They say to themselves, oh, I don't want that. I don't want that Christian life. That's boring. To be at peace, to have that peace, I want to do my own thing in the world and go out and live a little. That's the state of our sinful nature. That is sin. If you have that attitude, that's sin against God. I see these Christians, oh, they're so boring. I want to do my own thing. That's our fallen, sinful nature. We resist peace. Isn't that a terrible thing? To resist the peace of God. We want to go and do our own thing. And that is sin, dear friends. That, by the way, is how original sin came into the world. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, well, they were at perfect peace. They had perfect peace in the Garden of Eden. But, well, they wanted to live a little. They wanted to break the rules. Let me take of that fruit that I'm not supposed to. Peace. Oh, it's boring. I want that fruit. I want that thing that I'm not allowed to do. They rejected that peace that God had given them, and they disobeyed God. And that's how sin came into the world. They despised the peace that God had given them, and they desired something else. That's sin. That is the sin of man. That's how original sin entered into the world, and there has been no peace since that terrible day. Well, again, we have to think, well, what is true peace? How can we have it? True peace, I was thinking, how can I describe it in very simple terms? What is true peace, the peace that we have in Christ? Well, let me put it to you in this way. True peace is knowing that everything is going to be all right. That's as simple as I can make it. If you know that everything's going to be all right, then you have peace. Sometimes you have people, they're constant worriers, and they stress about every little thing, and you constantly have to be assuring them, everything's going to be all right, everything's going to be all right, to keep them at peace. But you know, we say that so often, don't we? Everything's going to be all right. But we don't actually know that for sure. When we say everything's going to be all right, we don't actually know that, do we? Do you know everything's going to be all right in your life? You don't. You can't see beyond this day. You can't see beyond this minute. We don't actually know if everything's going to be all right. And perhaps that's a great reason why we don't have any peace. In our lives, our futures are so uncertain. We never know what's round the corner. We can say to ourselves everything's going to be all right, but we don't actually know it. So you can't have true peace. You can't have true peace if you're in that state and condition. True peace comes knowing if everything is all right. And we don't have that. In fact, what we do have, what we do know, is the opposite. We know that actually one day we will have to face the end of our lives. There's going to be one day when everything is not all right. When we come to the end of our lives, when we die. We know that that day will come. We can't avoid it, no matter what we do. So how can we have peace when we know that that is waiting for us? How can we have peace when death is hanging over us? We try to put it out of our mind for as long as possible. But that's a fake peace, to ignore it. That's just a fake peace. You can't have true peace when death is hanging over us, when we know that one day we will be on our deathbed. And then what's going to happen? Is everything going to be all right then? When we're at the end of our lives, on our deathbed, is everything going to be all right then? Will you be able to say that to yourself? Well, this is why the Lord Jesus Christ has come. This is the good news. The Lord Jesus Christ has come to remove death from us. Through his death and resurrection, we have no fear of death. He leads us through death. We have victory over death. And therefore, we have peace. Christ came, he died, he rose again, he overcame death. And everyone who believes in him, we have that same victory. And that's why we have peace. We trust in Christ's death and resurrection. And this is the good news. Do we trust in these things? Do we trust in Christ's death? Do we know why he died? When Christ died, he made peace. He made peace. Peace between God and man. That was the result of Christ's death on the cross. By nature, man is not at peace with God. Man is opposed to God by nature. We are rebels against God. We don't want to serve God. We want to live our own lives. We're opposed to him. We are on opposing sides. We are not at peace with God by our nature. And we will have to face the condemnation of God at the very end for our sin, for our rebellion. But not if we trust in Christ. If we trust in Christ, if we understand why he died, then we have peace with God. We know that when he died, he took upon himself the punishment for our sin. All the things that we have done wrong, all our rebellion, all our condemnation was placed upon him. He took the punishment so that now we may have peace with God. We may have peace because he was punished. That is the glorious message of the cross. And when Christ rose again from the grave, well, that was the great sign that that peace offering had been accepted. Christ has died for his people, but how do we know that God has accepted that offering? Well, Christ has raised from the dead. He has risen. That's how we know we are safe. There is now a way of peace. There is now a way of salvation because Christ has died and he has risen again. He's been successful. And this is what we remember at this time of the year. There is a way of peace with God through faith in Christ, through his death, through his resurrection. Every Christian believer, well, they know on their deathbed that everything will be all right. They know that everything will be all right. When all their strength fades, when they have no earthly hope at all, they still know that everything will be all right because they have peace with God. Christ has died for me. I have faith in him. I know everything's going to be all right. As soon as I leave this world, I'll enter into the next. Everything's going to be all right. I have peace with the Lord our God. So this is the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of here. Peace be unto you. But time is running on, and I just want to mention a few more things about this resurrection appearance. Let's read verse 36 again. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And then look at verse 37. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, peace be unto you, words of peace. And what did the disciples do? They were terrified. That's ironic, isn't it? He spoke words of peace, and yet they were still terrified. They were still frightened. And the Lord had to calm them down. He said, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Well, you know, this is how people respond to the gospel. You share the gospel with them, and they get so frightened. They get so frightened about what it means. They hear the gospel and they want to leave the church as soon as possible. They can't wait for the sermon to end. Oh, I don't want this. They get frightened. Why are you frightened? These are just words of peace. Peace be unto you. What is there to be scared of? Peace, peace with God, peace in your life. Why would you not want this life? Why are you uncomfortable? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? I don't want this. I don't want this Christian life. Why? It's peace be unto you. What a foolish thing to be afraid of that. And then verse 39, the Lord reassures them again. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. The disciples had thought that perhaps he was a ghost or a spirit. But he says to them, look at my hands and my feet. I have a body. I am real. Come and investigate. You will see that I have indeed risen from the grave. And dear friends, again, we say this to everybody that comes into this place. Those who don't know the Lord, come and investigate. Come and investigate the Christian faith. Come and speak to Christian people. Ask them about the faith that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask them about what the Lord has done for them. Ask them about how the Lord has led them and guided them throughout their lives and answered all their prayers. See that these things are real. See that their peace is real, that they have a peace that the world cannot give. Come and investigate. The gospel, the Christian faith, it stands up to scrutiny. You will see that these things are real. And above all, you will see that the Lord Jesus Christ is real. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's not an imaginary thing. He's not an imaginary friend, as people make him out to be. He's not a creation, a figment of people's imagination. Come and investigate him. Behold him, and you will see that he is true. He is real. You will know him. You will be saved by him. You will know what it is to have that peace and joy that comes with believing. Your life will be changed. You'll be born again. You'll love God. And you'll know that everything will be all right. For the first time in your life, you'll know that everything is going to be all right. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For the first time in your life, everything will be all right. So come to the Lord. Approach him, seek him. If you seek him, you will find him and you will know that peace in your life. Well, may our dear Saviour be glorified this day. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them as he stands in the midst of us even this day and says unto us, peace be unto you. Receive that peace, dear friends. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God and our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, oh dear Lord, how we pray that we would not be foolish, that we would not turn away from that peace that Christ gives, that peace that this world cannot give, that peace that is everlasting, not temporary, that peace that is within our souls, not without us, that peace that shall guide us through death into everlasting life. Lord, may we know that peace, dear Lord. We know that Christ is the only way to that peace because he has made an end of death. He has claimed that victory over the grave. Oh, Lord, humble us each one and give us that faith in him. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.